Welcome to the podcast, God Wants to Talk to You. 15 minutes of Bible talk hosted by a regular guy, ordinary non-church affiliated layman named Michael.
And that would be me. Welcome to a brand new episode. And I know this is going to be a great, powerful episode. And here is why. Right before we started, my mouse suddenly stopped working. Whenever I have technical glitches and I have... Remember, my house just burned down less than a year ago. I have brand new, really good equipment. This stuff does not mess up. And when it messes up, it's always when I'm getting ready to do one of the God Wants to Talk to You podcast where people will find it. And that's the great thing about this podcast. It's out there. If you're meant to find it, I truly believe that you will. If you're meant to get something out of it or have a conversation or grow in your faith, you will. So that I know, that much I know. And the fact that my computer just messed up made me know this is important. Someone needs to hear this. So we are in Lent. We're not in Lent. Lent is the Easter season. We are in Advent. It is Advent. We are in the second week of Advent right now. And in it being Advent, I've talked about in the last podcast, the things that you're looking to is we are not only celebrating the birth of Jesus, the birth of Christ, the birth of the Messiah, but we're looking also to the future, to his return, because we know now it's been 2,000 years. He was crucified. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and now we are awaiting his return. He will come back. The Bible is true. The word of God is true, and it's well written here in this book. And today, in particular, we're going to go into Luke chapter 24. We're going to pick it up at verse 13, and it's called The Road to Emmaus. And just to set the stage here, Jesus has been crucified. The third day has come. In fact, this is the third day. Jesus has risen. But all the women, Mary Magdalene and some of the other women in their group, had gone to the grave, and he wasn't there. The angels were there. They ran back to tell the disciples. The disciples ran there, and they found the tomb was empty. Jesus was gone, and they did not know what to do. I don't think they believed the women. Remember, women were a second class of citizen then, and the fact that the angels talked to the women and told the women and told them that Jesus had risen and not to the disciples when they went there, they were all feeling defeated. They were feeling very down and distraught, and they were terrified because Jesus had just been put to death, and they all thought, oh no, we've been following him. We've been believers. We've been part of his crew. They're coming for us next. So they were all scared, and they were scattering, and two of them were walking, and these are just two followers of Jesus. This isn't one of the 11 remaining disciples at this point, but they were part of the crew. So it's the third day. Jesus has already risen. They don't know that yet. And we'll pick it up from there. These guys are fleeing Jerusalem, and they're walking to a nearby town called Emmaus. It's about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and it's a good, you know, good long walk. So now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, this is the third day since this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." Jesus said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he began to explain to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread. He gave thanks, he broke it, and he began to give it to them. Their eyes were opened. They now recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples, and those with them assembled together, saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them once he broke the bread. So we're going to stop right there. That is the first return of Jesus after death. And what is so awesome about this, I love that story, by the way. Very, very powerful stuff. But let's get into the breakdown of what's going on with Jesus. Oh man, my computer is locking up, but we're going to get through this. Get to my notes. So here's what we have. We have these two followers of Christ, Cleopas and a companion, and they're walking back and they're heartbroken. They're absolutely devastated. They're emotional. They have sorrow. Jesus is dead. Jesus, who they thought was the Messiah, who they thought was coming to save Israel, was dead and was crucified. They're confused. Their hopes are shattered. Everything they believed, everything they thought, they're now thinking they were wrong. So they loved Jesus. They followed him. Imagine someone who you looked up to and loved, and just having a good friend pass away for no reason, who had done nothing wrong, and the sadness that you would feel. Not to mention, he's the Son of God, and the Messiah makes it compounded. So he walks up to him as they're walking. They're in sorrow. They're not really paying attention. This guy they don't know comes walking up to him, and they are kept, it says in the scripture, they are kept from recognizing him. So he walks in their saddest moment, in their despair. Jesus walks with us in our despair. Jesus may walk up to you today on the street and you don't recognize him. Do you ever think that? Because I think that. I think, what if Jesus walked up to me and asked me to help him or to do something for him? And I said, "Get out of here. Beat it, you bum." I think about those things. And you wouldn't know it's Jesus. And then all of a sudden, maybe you tell him to beat it, you bum. And then next thing you know, he's like, "Whoa, that was Jesus. Probably shouldn't have done that." But as Jesus teaches us, we shouldn't do that to anyone. So they're walking. They're walking with this guy. They don't know who he is. They're pouring out their heart to him. They're talking about their shattered expectations, how their hopes have died. They hoped he was the Messiah. They hoped he was the one to free Israel from the Romans. And here's something to know. God invites honest conversation. So they're sitting here telling Jesus, like, "We're completely let down. This guy was supposed to be the Messiah. This guy was supposed to be the Savior of Israel." Disappointment is not a lack of faith. If someone passes away or something bad happens in your life, you can be disappointed. That's not lack of faith. It's not lack of faith to be hurt and to be upset and to not like the way if something's going. That's not lack of faith. That's part of our faith journey. So when they start talking to him, and then after they've poured their hearts out, he listens to them, he walks with them, he comforts them, and then he begins to chastise them. He starts going through the scripture, beginning with Moses, and everything in the, remember, they only have the Old Testament at that point, so all the scripture is all the Old Testament scriptures, And we talk about it time and time again in fulfillment of the scripture. Jesus was the fulfillment of everything in the Old Testament. The coming of the Messiah was all written about, and Jesus fulfilled all of that, and he broke it down and he explained it to them. Hey, this is this. This is this. This is pointing to the Messiah. This is pointing to, and he's teaching them as he taught them every day that he was with them. And think about it. What he was doing, he was giving them the greatest Bible study ever is what he was doing. He was breaking down the Bible exactly. And believe me, no one could break down the Bible better than, you know, God. So here's Jesus breaking it down for them. And then they get to where they're going. And he's like, all right, I'll see you later. And they're like, no, it's nighttime now. Stay with us. Stay with us. Because their hearts were awakening. They didn't recognize him. I don't know if Jesus looked like Jesus, or maybe he had his head covered. I don't know the situation, but it says they were made to not recognize him. So he could have looked like someone completely different. After all, he's Jesus. He does miracles and can do things like that. So we don't know why they didn't recognize him. But then they sit down and they start to eat. They're like, here, have some food. He takes the bread, he breaks the bread, he blesses the bread, and then they recognize him. Then their eyes are open, then that veil is removed, and they're like, oh, wow, this is Jesus. This is what he did. This is what he did at what we now call the Last Supper, when he was explaining he was going to be handed over, when he was explaining what was going to happen, when he was explaining how the Holy Spirit would come for them. He was going to be handed over. He would rise from the dead. He told them everything. They didn't understand it at the time, but he had told them all of this. One of the reasons Jesus had to be frustrated on that walk is like, I've told you and told you this before. Why don't you listen? Can say that to me and can say that to you probably too. I've told you over and over. We've gone over this. Why don't you listen? And they were walking in shame. Yet, then as soon as he disappeared, once they realized it was him and then he vanished, their hearts were burning. They were like, weren't our hearts burning when we walked with him? And what did they do? They immediately got up. They just walked 7 miles and it's now nighttime. And bolted back to Jerusalem to get to where the 11 disciples were. So that encounter with Jesus, they had confusion. Jesus gave them clarity. They were walking in sadness. Jesus gave them joy. They were walking away or running away, hiding. They immediately went running back with purpose. They went from hiding in silence to having testimony. And what we learn from this scripture, and as we're awaiting the return of Jesus as part of Advent, is that Jesus walks with you when you're brokenhearted. And these people were brokenhearted. They were devastated. They had turned their whole lives around. They had been following Jesus for 3 years now. They had given up everything to follow this man because they believed he was the Messiah, and they weren't wrong. But they thought they were. When he was crucified, because our expectations are not always God's plan. Remember, these people are thinking he's going to rise up at some point and he's going to start shooting thunderbolts out of his fingers and those Romans are toast, and he's going to go into the king's palace and be like, all right, no more of this Caesar dude. It's all about me now. That's not God's plan. But that's what I think we were thinking as humans. If this guy's the king of kings, that's what we're thinking is going to happen, but that's not God's plan. He rode in Jerusalem on a donkey, and that was in the scripture, which is a sign of not a conquering hero, but a guy who is peaceful. So in scripture, when he reveals himself, even though we can't see him, and I think so often when we read scripture, how many times have you read the Bible? And you're like, whoa, 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 I didn't see that. That's totally Jesus. There are Psalms that you've read maybe before, and then you go back and read them, and you're like, hey, wait a minute, this is a Psalm that they're talking about Jesus right here. So many times we can't see what Scripture is revealing to us, and that was happening with the disciples. That was happening with the people who were with Jesus day and night. You can be close to Jesus and still not recognize him until he opens your eyes. I think I've thought I've been a Christian my whole life. I would say, if you ask me, yeah, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus. My eyes weren't really open until the last, it's been about 5 years. And I've really dedicated to my faith. But a true encounter with Jesus, like these two had, it goes from fear and running away from it to giving you purpose. And what do they do with that purpose? They ran back to Jerusalem. They ran back to the trouble zone. They ran to the others to tell them, hey, it's all true. He did rise. The women aren't crazy. They're not emotionally nutty people. They're not lying to us. That really happened. He's alive. We saw him. And they told them the story. And voila. Next thing you know, Jesus is back. And then he comes to them in Jerusalem when they're all gathered in the room. And they're in a room with the doors locked because they're terrified that the Romans are going to get them next. And they're next on the chopping block, so to speak. And what happens? Boosh. Who's standing in the middle of the room? Peace be with you. My peace I give to you. Jesus, that's who. So, as we say, always be ready. Are you ready for the return of Jesus? These guys weren't ready for the return of Jesus. They were assuming the worst. He wasn't who he said he was. It's what they were thinking. He's dead. But what you think is going to happen isn't what God's going to make happen. That's what the Bible teaches this, that over and over and over and over. And how many times have you learned it in your own personal life as we live? Then you're like, all right, I'm praying for this, I'm praying for this. Then something else happened. It ends up being way better than what you've been praying for. Because God's plan is way better than your plan. You're not God. Let God be God. And that's what we learned through the resurrection of Jesus after his crucifixion. It's a beautiful story. The road to Emmaus in the book of Luke is Luke 24, verse 13 through 35 is what I read to you today. Highly recommend reading it. If nothing else, it'll get your heart ready for the Advent season. It absolutely will. I thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Reach out to me on the Instagram. I'll drop that in here right now. And have a great week. I'll be back on Friday with another episode of God Wants to Talk to You.
If you would like to contact us here at God Wants to Talk to You, follow us and reach out through Instagram at God Wants to Talk to You. Until next time, may the peace of our Lord be with you.